In Joshua 1, chapter 1, on page 178, verse 16, we read these words. And they answered Joshua, "All that you have commanded us we will do, and wherever you send us we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandment and disobeys your words, whatever you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous." And I'm focusing simply on the last line there, "only be strong and courageous." I sometimes think it's very strange how suddenly one piece of scripture pops up a few times in a row. At the beginning of January, I preached from Joshua chapter 1. Then last Sunday night, John Terhorst was preaching here, and he preached from Joshua chapter 1. And here I am looking at it again. It's always strange how suddenly that happens when you wouldn't look at it for many, many years. But with the ordination of Stephen, I was thinking about that line, "only be strong and courageous." If you looked at the whole chapter, that particular line comes up four times, "only be strong and courageous." But the reason I picked the last one is because who says it? In the first three occasions when the Lord speaks when this line happens, it is God who speaks. God says to Joshua, "Only be strong and courageous as you bring the people of Israel into the promised land." But it's the last time here, the fourth time in the chapter, that the people actually say it to Joshua, "Only be strong and courageous." I'll put it on the data projector there for you to have a look at. The first time God says, "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them." The second time, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go." The third time, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." The great words from God, a real encouragement to Joshua leading the people across the Jordan into the promised land. Well, like I said, the fourth time it's used in the chapter is when the people say it to Joshua. "Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses," say the people of Israel. "Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey it, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous." I believe what the people of Israel are saying to Joshua is that they want him to be a great leader of them, the people of God. Joshua had already shown his credentials to the people of Israel over a long period of time. He was about 38 years earlier. He was one of the 12 agents, spies, that went into the land of Canaan to spy, to search out the land, to work out whether they could take it or not. And he and Caleb, two of the 12, came back and said they could take the land, that they could defeat the Canaanites. The other 10 said, "No, we can't do it. The walls of the cities are too high. Some of the people are like giants. We can't do it." But Joshua, right from the beginning, showed an amazing trust in God. "We can do it. because God is at our side. As you know, they turned back at that point, back into the desert, and it was another 38 years of wanderings before they again came to the promised land under the leadership of Joshua. Moses had just passed away. During those years in the desert, they often fought battles, and Joshua is again mentioned on a number of occasions, but he led the people as a general against the Amalekites. That was the story. Many of us know that story. Moses is on the mountain and they're holding up his hands. And while his hands were up, they won. And when his hands drooped, they lost against the Amalekite. And Joshua led the forces of Israel in that battle and they had a decisive victory. I find it so interesting that the people of Israel say to Joshua, only be strong and courageous. Be a good leader. Be a godly leader to your people, to us. Because when you think of the people of Israel, they were never like that. They were a stubborn, rebellious people. How many times did they complain in the desert? How many times did they rebel against the rule of Moses? Even Aaron and Miriam, the brother and sister of Moses, said, "You're not the only leader here, we are." They rebelled constantly against Moses. And so to me, as I read these verses, I think there's a deep maturity happening in the Israelites here. They recognize that they have no chance of success in the promised land unless they actually have good, strong, courageous, godly leadership. They recognize that after 40 years, they eventually got it in their heads. Yes, we need godly leadership. But brothers and sisters, it's interesting with leadership. We always like leadership when it suits us. But if it doesn't suit us, we don't think much of your leadership. I was just thinking as I was writing the sermon about the great reformer, John Calvin. We just celebrated 500-year anniversary of the Reformation. And John Calvin, as a young preacher, had to leave France. And he's going through Geneva, and a man, a fiery preacher called Farrell, said, "May God sort of curse you if you don't stay here and preach." And so John, in fear and trembling, stayed in Geneva. But eventually he was kicked out of Geneva. See, it became a problem of church discipline at the time. John Calvin believed that the church had the right to discipline its members, while the city council, like the Sutherland Shire Council, said, "No, we have the right to discipline our members of a church." And because of this dispute, they kicked John Calvin out, and who said, "I hope never to see Geneva again." The church council eventually changed, the city council eventually changed its mind. I point back there because that's where Sutherland Shire is, I think, but it's in a different location, I'm sure, Geneva. So they eventually invited John Calvin to return and he stayed there till his death. We're fickle as people. Leadership when it suits us, and then get rid of the leadership when it doesn't suit us. But in this case, it's the people of God saying to Joshua, "Be strong and courageous. Stand firm. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Let the word of God be on your lips." Someone said, "May you mutter continually the words of God." Now, brothers and sisters, when we think of Joshua, we think of the leader of the Old Testament people of God. But when we think of in a New Testament situation, we think of his namesake. And his namesake is, of course, Jesus. Jesus is an Aramaic form of saying Joshua. So when Mary named her child Jesus. He was actually thinking of Joshua, for he will save his people, and that's exactly what Joshua did. He brought the people into the promised land. And brothers and sisters, we have the strongest and most courageous leader in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think there is another human being who is as strong and courageous as Jesus was. We have a leader that wants to bring us into the promised land and does bring us into the promised land. A leader that says, I have come to give you life and life to the full. That is what our Lord has come to achieve in the present. We have life in Jesus. We have purpose. We have fulfillment. We have salvation. We have a reconciliation with the Father. We're part of a family. These are all the things that Jesus gives us. Without them, we would be lost. What a blessing it is to be a person of God. Can there be any greater blessing than being part of the family of God and following in the footsteps of Jesus, who is our leader and Lord? Not only life here and now, but life in the future. Eternal life secure in him, where he will be the center and all our affections will be upon him. What a privilege to have a leader like that. And I say he was strong and courageous because of the opposition that he faced right from the beginning of his life, but especially during his ministry. When he started his ministry, the devil came along himself and tried to tempt him from the course of action that God, his Father in heaven, had commissioned him to do. So the devil tempted him away from his mission. And brothers and sisters, when you think of the disciples, they tempted him often away. When Jesus was heading to Jerusalem to his death, you have people like Peter saying, no, may this never be. You're not going to die. We don't want you to die. We don't want you to fulfill the commission God your Father has given you. And Jesus said those horrible words to Peter. Get behind me, Satan. And then you think of the absolute terror of the cross itself. We think of that poignant moment in the Garden of Gethsemane under the olive trees, in the darkness, where Jesus said to his Father in prayer, if this cup can be taken, this cup of suffering can be taken from me, do it, but not my will be done, but yours. And then he willingly went to the cross and he says on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? He willingly entered into his own death, opposition from everyone, the rulers, his own disciples, and even suffering the wrath of God. He knew that was his mission and he fulfilled it at total expense to his own life. That is courageous. Most of us aren't that courageous in ourselves. If we see trouble ahead, we take a detour. If we thought there's going to be difficulties or we'll get hit, we take a detour. I remember as a child just coming home from school and there was dogs at particular houses that would always run out in the days that dogs were not told they weren't allowed to go on the streets. Today we have a heavily educated dogs. They don't run out and chase cars like when I was a kid. And I'd avoid every street on the way home, where the dogs ran out and attacked the front wheel of your bike or your foot as it's pedalling along. And boy, did I fly through those streets where they did. You never seen a guy pedal as fast trying to get past these dogs. That's what we're like as people. We flee or we avoid. But Jesus went to the cross, God forsaken. Has there ever been a leader like that in human history? And we follow in his footsteps. But brothers and sisters, as you read it, Joshua in the Old Testament, Jesus in the New Testament, you think to yourself, what are the implications for us as Christians? Jesus gave that great commission to the church. He said to his disciples after his resurrection, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. They weren't courageous just because Jesus told them to be. They became courageous when the Holy Spirit descended upon them at Pentecost. As believers, we get Jesus' presence with us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And people like Peter and John said, we will obey God rather than man. They were determined to live for him. And as far as we know, nearly all the disciples, if not all, died as martyrs for the faith. The men that had fled into the darkness when Jesus was arrested suddenly had strength because Jesus was with them through the Holy Spirit, and they even went to their death. It isn't easy to be strong and courageous. But that's what we want from godly leaders. That's what we want from Stephen. That's what we want from all those who serve in the church. We want that from parents as they teach their children. We want good models of Christianity. We want people committed to the faith, not turning to the right or to the left, as we read in Joshua chapter 1. Michael read out for us earlier the first chapter of 1 Timothy 1, and I've summarised it. I've just taken out lines out of 1 Timothy 1 and 2 Timothy 1 and 2 Timothy 2. And I've just put that on the data projector, just lines to remind us about how God gives us strength and what Paul urges good Christian leaders to do. So just allow me to read that out. For this reason, Paul writes to young Timothy, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity. You can see how that's the opposite of bold and courageous. But a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, but join me in suffering for the gospel. Keep the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who is in you. You then be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Endure hardship as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, endure everything for the sake of the elect, the church, that they might obtain salvation in Jesus Christ. Warn them against quarrelling about words. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Paul is telling those words to Timothy. And then perhaps this is good for Stephen to hear. This is in chapter 4.
Paul says to Timothy, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. What do we want from Stephen and me and your elders and your teachers and your youth group leaders? We want them to be strong and courageous, because that is the only way we'll hear words pertaining to eternal life and grow in our faith. We live in a culture where the church is really divided. It's not just divided along denominational grounds, but sometimes you hear things that really disturb you. When it came to the same-sex marriage vote, just a year ago, there were churches that had rainbow colours all over it and vote yes. There are some ministers who preach who say they don't even believe in the miracles of Christ, or indeed that Jesus even rose from the dead. The primate of the Anglican churches in Australia a decade ago didn't believe in the resurrection of Christ. We have to say to those who lead us, be strong and courageous, meditate on the word, and have the courage to let us know about the word, because then it will benefit both yourself and your hearers, says the Apostle Paul to Timothy. If we have weak leaders who don't believe what they preach, who don't believe in the infallibility of Scripture, then where will we be as a church? We will hold on to nothing. And so the people of Israel said to Joshua, be strong and courageous. And we say to our leaders, be strong and courageous, so that we can truly enter into eternal life. Parents have to be strong and courageous. We all need to be strong and courageous, and we have the Holy Spirit. We have all the tools at our disposal. And if we lack courage, then we ask the one who gives courage, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Kent Hughes, just to finish, in his book, Disciplines of a Godly Man, spends a whole chapter talking about godly leadership, and he looks at Joshua for the most part. And he writes this, and we have that on the data projector. Good leaders lead by demonstration. They pull people along with them. Good leaders lead by demonstration. They pull people along with them. And then Kent Hughes refers to General Eisenhower. I think he was one of the generals that led the Allies in World War II. And General Eisenhower, to demonstrate leadership, used to always carry with him a piece of string. And when he put the string on a desk or on something flat, he says, a good leader always pulls. And if you pull a string, it always stays in that straight line and,
And you get this, and it follows where your hand brings it. He says, if a leader pushes a piece of string, we all know what happens, don't we? You push a piece of string and it just sort of folds up and it's pretty useless. What do we want from the leaders in this church? We want them to pull us along. The Vine Project for many of us is something new. And yet Session's trying to do a bit of that, pulling us along in a particular direction. We want to be a disciple-making church. Now, it might sound strange, the Vine Project, but as a term, but isn't that what you want from your leaders, that they would draw us along, pull us along so that we can be the people God wants us to be? The people of Israel said to Joshua, be strong and courageous. God said to Joshua, be strong and courageous. We say to the elders, and Stephen in particular this morning, be strong and courageous. May God be with you, Stephen, as you lead the people and draw us into a closer fellowship with Christ. Amen.